Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your dull y'all magnify y'all cause it's great.
To the mighty Elohim, whose name is Yahweh, the only Redeemer, the only Lawgiver, the only Judge, the only Savior of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Welcome to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. The host tonight, Morey Ishyah Yisrael, live here at the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street. Here to bring you nothing but the truth, of the mighty Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yahweh is the Elohim of the so-called black man and woman who has been scattered through the four corners of the earth due to our of the transatlantic slave trade. Yahweh is the only king, the only judge, and the only lawgiver of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one who has spoke of everything that our people have been through, are going through, and will ever go through in the Holy Scriptures. I would like to say shalom to all our listeners via internet, YouTube, Facebook, and Blog Talk Radio. You know that the only reason that you are listening is because of your great fear towards the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. In the last few broadcasts taught masterfully by our Moray Ishaya, about how to study the scriptures, which is very important, because Yah's word is not like any other word you have came across. The word of Yah is wholly unique. There's no word like the word of Yah. The reason is because the word of Yah is the original word or words that has ever been spoken. Yah's word is how everything else has came into existence, by the word of Yah. So the way you study the word of Yah has to be different than the way you study man's word. And I'm sure Moray Ishaya dealt with the scripture, but just let me show you what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 29th chapter, the 13th verse. It says, "Wherefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." The situation our people are in, knowing what we think we know by the teachings of man. And man is not who you want to be your teacher. You want Yah to be your teacher. But you have to understand how Yahweh teaches. And that is how, and this is why we're going to deal with slavery this night. Because slavery is the reason why we are, the children of Israel, discombobulated today, fractured, destroyed, corrupted, blind, confused, whatever you want to say of how we are, slavery plays a major role of why we are the way we are. Not because the so-called white man put us in slavery. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of the actual condition, slavery. And this hasn't been any different, any run-of-the-mill slavery now. Slavery exists all over the world, and it's existed for some time. The Most High speaks of the children of Israel having what you would call slaves. Let me show you how Yahweh tells Israel to deal with what you would call slaves. Believe I want. Oh, just let me be sure. I don't want to mess it up. Go to the book of Exodus, the 21st chapter. In Exodus 21, I want to start reading at verse 1. It says, "And if a man smite his servant or his maid with the rod, and he die under his hand, he, the man that did this, shall surely be punished." What does that mean? What's the punishment for murder? Death. "Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property, his money." Meaning, the smiting is not what killed him. So if he, you know, you hit him and he died, okay. But you smited him, which you shouldn't do, and I'm going to show you why. Then that's not what killed him. Verse 22. And then we'll go down to verse 26. "And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake." Why? Supposed to abuse your servants. Now, do you think that law was applied to us in chattel slavery? When they cut open the wombs of the mothers, did they? What do you do for that? They should have been killed. They should have been put to death. They should have been put to death. So I'm not talking about servitude that has been going on throughout the world for years, where people actually sell themselves into servitude, and you have to treat them like a human, like a son of Adam, a daughter of Adam. You have to treat them like a person. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter, just showing you the slavery I'm talking about is not the slavery the Most High allowed in his kingdom. It's not the slavery the Europeans did with their own people. It's not the slavery the Asians have done and are doing. It's not the slavery the Africans have done and are doing. It's not the slavery all the other nations are well aware of and are doing. No, not that type of slavery. This slavery has been a unique slavery. And because of this situation, we have some things that need to be corrected. And in chapter 23 of the book of Deuteronomy, I want to take you to verse 15. "Thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. Why not? Why should you not tell the slave to go back to Massa? Well, first off, you see, the Most High didn't even use the word slave. That's a Slavic word. That's a European word. That's a Germanic word. That's not a Hebrew word. Yah used the word abadim, abed, which means servant, not slave. It means servant. This word slave, it also means servant, but the vibration is just completely different. Well, nobody likes that word slave, but many of you and I, others, are or have been at one point in time somebody's servant. Many servants. But slave, this word is not used. Nevertheless, in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 23, thou shalt not deliver unto his master the servant which is escaped from his master unto thee. Why not? He shall dwell with thee even among you in that place which he shall choose, in one of thy gates, where it liketh him best. Thou shalt not oppress him. Oppression is against towards servants, let alone your own people, people that aren't serving you. Oppression is against the law. Nowhere will you read that once you acquire a servant, you shall strip his name and refuse him enlightenment, education, schooling, training, literacy. Nowhere do you read that your servant that you bought with your money shall be defiled with swine. Nowhere. Yahweh never allowed and never stood for oppression in his and amongst his. How does Yahweh feel about oppression? How does he feel? Obviously, that he doesn't want the slave, as you know, he doesn't want the servant to be oppressed. You can't return the servant to his master if he done ran away from him. And why is that? Because he ran away for a good reason. He ran away because he was being oppressed. Isn't that why we run away from situations? There comes a time where you are in a situation that's so oppressive, it's either you're going to kill someone, be killed, or run away. And a lot of times we'll choose the least violent option, which is to run away. Go to Proverbs, the 14th chapter, the 31st verse. It states, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Now, if somebody has sold themselves into servitude, they must have been poor. They must have been poor. So why would you oppress the poor? It does not stand for the oppression of the poor. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter. And if you take a whole nation of people from their borders of where they have dwelt, oppress him. He's already poor. You took him from his homeland. You took him from his people. You took him from his resources. You brought him into place and you didn't give him the tools to be able to adjust to the society that you brought him into, and you forced them into servitude and oppressed them. Yeah, Yah doesn't stand for that. Proverbs 28:3 says, a poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain, which leaveth no food. There's no justification for oppression. Yah does not stand for oppression. So, the slavery that I'm going to speak to you about is not about the servitude that is common throughout the world. I'm speaking about this kind of slavery. It's in the book of Genesis, 15th chapter. In Genesis chapter 15, begin reading at verse 13. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This is a different kind of slavery. Not only are you a stranger in a land that is not yours, not only have you been made a servant in a strange land, but you shall be afflicted the entire time. You don't get a couple hundred years where you're living amongst the royalty, honored amongst the royalty. You only are afflicted. You didn't come in honored by the king. You didn't come in with your language intact, with your history intact, with the ability to flourish and to grow and to spread your culture. You came in afflicted. This kind of slavery I'm talking about, you'll find it here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 7. Because thou serve Yahweh thy Elohim, servest not Yahweh thy Elohim with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which Yah shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Yah shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. This is a different kind of slavery. Last example, Deuteronomy 28:28. Yah shall smite thee with madness and with blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper. prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt not be, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee. This slavery that you and I and our ancestors have experienced is not your typical servitude. It is one where oppression is by the minute, hour, day, week, month, year, decade, in centuries. There has not been a time in the last almost 400 years where oppression has not resided over children of Yah in this strange land in which we have been made to be afflicted servants. So, why has this slavery done such grave damage? Well, as I just showed, it's oppressive. And you have to serve for everything. There's not a time that you, I, the children of Yah, are living in this land where oppression has not been among us. And since for everything we wanted, we've had to go to our enemies to receive it. Because for a great long time, we had no idea where to get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge from. This is why there are universities made, built, and named after black people. For black people. But the education there is the system given to them by their enemies. Every public and charter school that you might send your children to is teaching the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of your enemies. Every vocational, occupational, every educational system that you or your family have went to has been built for and by, designed for and by your enemies. Every book you have read has been written with your enemy's mind state. There is only one book. There is only one source of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. There is only one system where you can be liberated from the slavery of your enemies. Only one. And your enemies, such a masterful job to get you to not know what was going on. That now they can put the very key to your restoration, liberation, redemption, freedom, the very key to it. They can put it in front of you, and you won't even consider it. That is what the slavery has done to the mass majority of Yah's people. This is why this scripture often, but this is why the scriptures say this. The word of Yah says this. Isaiah the 60th chapter, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of Yah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Let me tell you what this means right there. Yah said, and I'll just show you. Hold that Isaiah 60. Because I want to tell you what this means. Go to the book of Daniel, the 8th chapter. And we're going to start reading. Let's see here. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, I want to start reading about verse 8. It says, therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of the one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. The place of his sanctuary was cast down, and a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Scripture of Daniel, as you go back to Isaiah, the 60th chapter, said that this notable kingdom, who was represented as a horn, cast the truth to the ground. Truth, brothers and sisters, is light. It's in the order of one. Truth is in the order of Yah's order one. And the first order is light. And that's what truth is. And Yah said in Isaiah 60:1, arise, shine, for that light is come. And the glory of Yah is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And this strange horn has conquered the entire earth. And in doing so, has cast the truth to the ground. And in doing so, has allowed darkness to cover the entire world. Therefore, Yah said, and gross darkness, the people. Whose people? What people? Yah's people. Not only has darkness covered the earth, but gross darkness covered Yah's people. And this gross darkness could only fester because of this environment of slavery that we have been in. Slavery has allowed the darkness, the gross darkness, to fester. And why would he say gross darkness covered the people? Go to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, showing you this slavery is a debilitating problem. And there is only one way out. And it's not by any means from your enemies, by any fashion at all. Ezekiel 37 chapter. Start reading verse 11. It says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yah when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." And that's because gross darkness resides in Sheol, the pit. Gross darkness resides in hell. And that is exactly where you're at. This land is hell. And that's why gross darkness is over the people. And I want to show you how gross it is. Because Yah said, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And Yah has started to give us some light. And we are now able to see this is some gross, nasty darkness. But in case you're on the fence, well, people are. Many of us don't understand and don't even realize that this slavery is so tight on us that we are subconsciously afraid to let go of it. But I want to show you in plain black and white how gross this darkness is that you are subconsciously and some of our people consciously holding on to. I have to take you to a gross doctrine in the New Testament. Go to the book of Ephesians and I'm going to show you how the Most High allowed these people to wield this slavery. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, I'm going to read from the first verse unto the 7th verse. And I'm going to show you how they did it. In verse 1 it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And that is. See, that's how the greatest con artists get you. I was watching this video of this so-called doctor who's a so-called heart surgeon who believes he done found the key to better health, and tells you all these good things about eating these good fruit and these good vegetables. And then he tells you don't eat this certain vegetable. Instead, you should just eat meat. Which, if you know anything about the way they do meat, you don't want to do that. He told you to replace so-called protein from plants with meat. But before he slipped that little lie in there, which is a big lie, he was telling you the good stuff. Then he slipped in. So this is what Paul is doing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now that, which is in parentheses, is wrong. This is not the first commandment. But honor thy father and mother is a commandment, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the commandment. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's saying to bring them up admiring the Most High and nurturing. Servants, now that's all right. That's all good. Verses 1 through 5 of 4, it's all good, except for that one in the parentheses. They added that. That's not the first commandment, but everything else, that's the truth. You know, raise your children. Don't cause them to be wrathful. Nurture them and show them the love of the Most High. That's all good. But verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now here they go. And who did they teach this verse to? They taught it to our great-great-grandparents in slavery. They didn't teach us verses 1 through 4. They taught that to their people. But they taught us, servants, be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart. Like meaning, fear only your masters. And tremble at them like you would do unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. Don't just please them with your eyes and in front of them, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Now that's a slave doctrine. But if you thought that wasn't too bad. But I'm just letting you know that's a slave doctrine. But let me show you how much further they take it. And it's in the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter. Around the 18th verse, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. See, this is what they taught our people. All fear. Leaving no room to fear Yah. And they didn't just preach it on Sunday. They beat it every day. They couldn't just teach it. They beat it into you. They cut it into you. Killed it into you. Burned it. Tarred and feathered it. Cow trampled this doctrine into us. And you think they stopped in 1865? No. They lynched it into us. They shot it into us. Covertly and overtly. They're still vaccinating it into you. Abortioning it into you. Police brutality putting it into you. Everywhere. In every chance your enemies get, they make sure you remember verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward Elohim endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What kind of noise is that? They tell you good stuff and then slip in the poison. Why? Because God already let you know. Strange horn cast the truth to the ground. And they're not going to let it come back up. So they going to hustle you and manipulate you into serving, into standing up to serve the brutal masters and overseers that preside over you. In 3D, our people get murdered, murdered by a so-called police overseer. Murdered. And our people come out and say, we stand with the police overseers. We support the good police overseers and pray for the bad ones. We're going to suffer, even though it's wrong. Brothers and sisters, that's slavery. Now, that's how harsh it is. Nevertheless, this slavery has caused us to do things. This is very unhealthy, serving your masters like this. You shouldn't. You only serve Yah. Of course, and you should feel man of servitude. This kind of slavery has caused us to really go bananas. Let me show you the kind of things they tell you. Your enemies is the they. Now that your enemies have you wrapped around their finger, in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, I believe, in the 5th chapter, let me get to it, there we go, 1 Timothy, chapter 5, start at verse 23. This is what they're telling you. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Yes. You read that right. For anybody that breathes air and eats food to tell you, stop drinking water and replace it with wine, and you don't question their judgment. And, I mean, our people aren't questioning this judgment. They're going to church every Sunday, letting people teach them this kind of stuff. Yeah, it says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. If anybody's ever had a stomach ache, wine is the last thing you're thinking about drinking. What did the Most High say? Go to the book of Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And it says, in verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert judgment any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Where does it say drink wine for your health? The Most High made water come out of a rock because the people were thirsty, not wine. Not wine. In Proverbs 20th chapter, it says in the first verse, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Hello? Why would anybody do this? Who would have the audacity to teach this? Where do you get off trying to fool my people with don't drink no wine, don't drink any more water? Did Yahweh say he's the fountain of living wine? No, what does it say in Jeremiah, the second chapter? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. It says, have the nations changed their Elohim, which are not yet Elohim? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. And be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith Yah. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Why would Yah call himself the fountain of living waters if he was going to change up and have you drink wine? No. And where does this drunken attitude come from? Obviously, it comes from the book of Matthew, the second chapter. And why am I showing you this? Because Yah said we're in gross darkness. And I just want you to see the logic your leaders are dealing with, which is no logic at all. And in Matthew, I think I want John, Satan John, Saint John, as they say. In Matthew, the second chapter, we're going to start reading here. First verse. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of the Christ of the New Testament was there. And both the Christ was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of JC said unto him, they have no wine. This is what his mother said. They don't have any wine, son. Who's supposed to be God? Who has a mother? Let him know. They ain't got no wine. If you the Most High, why you gotta, anybody gonna tell you anything? JC saith unto her, woman. Oh my goodness. You wonder why your people are disrespectful to their mothers and their wives? Because they run around saying that the Christ of the New Testament is the example of righteousness. And here, this so-called example of righteousness just said woman to his mama. You know a black man ain't right. This, we dare not call our mothers woman. My gracious. Then I call your wife woman. My goodness. Woman. What have I to do with you? Oh, my. Yeah. That's your example of righteousness. Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Jesus was done with him. Whatever he say, do. Whatever, this guy. And there were six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. JC saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. Oh, see, this is what they do. They don't want to drink water. They want wine. What does it say in the book of Isaiah? The fifth chapter. Whoever wants to replace wine, wants to replace water for wine, has a psychological problem. Because nothing takes the place of water. Nothing. In Isaiah, the fifth chapter, start reading in verse 11. It states, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that may follow strong drink, that continue until night, to wine inflame them. Woe unto them. And the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and the pipe, and wine are in their feast. But they regard not the work of Yah, neither consider the operation of his hand. You wonder why alcohol is so prevalent in this society? Because the statutes and judgments, the precepts of men, teach our people and the world to be wine bibbers. And you can argue it all you want to, but it's right there. I didn't write this. This is gross darkness. Wine bibbers is teaching you in the churches, in the schools, in the counseling sessions. Alcoholics, wine bibbers, drunken men and women who rather drink wine than water. Now, does that make sense? Of course it doesn't make sense. But we've been doing it for who knows how long. Because that is an effect of this kind of slavery. But once you find the Most High, you know that is insane. Another example of this slavery. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And what are we teaching about? We're teaching about slavery. I'm not teaching about the enemies and their just terrible treatment and how it's their fault. No, that's not what I'm teaching. I'm showing you what slavery has led you to believe. The most utterly ridiculous things. Because Yah said this would be a time of gross darkness. Yah said that this place that you are in is your graves. Yah said that this place that you are in, you will be afflicted 400 years. And it is time to come up out of these graves, and it is time to come up out of this darkness, and it is time to see truth. We can no longer let the doctrines and the precepts of man and our enemies be our guidance ever again. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's start at verse 19. It says, but I say, and this is Paul, this is a letter of Paul, if you didn't know, 1 Corinthians is attributed to a character named Paul. He says, but I say unto you, well, verse 19, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say unto you, which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Elohim. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You see, he got to start off with game. Good stuff. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Oh, now listen, you see, he started off dropping that knowledge, as they say. Now he's about to flip the script. Do we provoke the master to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me is what he said. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, he repeats it. But all things edify not. How is everything lawful for you, bro? Who are you? Saul, whose name was changed to Paul because he just got knocked in the head on the way somewhere? Where does he get the authority to say all things are lawful for him? But this is the game that is lawful, but not edifying. So you say all things are lawful, but they ain't not expedient. That don't mean good for me. All things are lawful for me. That doesn't mean they make me better. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles. And what are the shambles? Shambles are the markets, the meat markets. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Why would he say that? Just go to the market. They got this big old festering hog's head with worms all through it. Buy that and eat it. Don't even ask yourself, oh, conscience, shut up now. I'm going to eat the hog's head. That's what he's telling you to do. Put the worms in your body. Put the poison in your body. For the earth is the Lord's in fullness thereof. What? That's what he's saying. Does that make sense? If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions, conscience sake. Meaning, you go to somebody's house, you don't keep the laws, and he puts nasty stuff in front of you, rat tail, and octopus tail, and squid, crabs and oysters, with some parsley. Eat that. That's what Paul is saying. If any man say unto you, this here unclean food is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Why do you keep on saying that? What that got to do with breaking the law? You ain't the most high. But nevertheless, that is what we've been taught. Why do you think they're able to put a pack that's large intestine, colon? If you don't know what colon does, and it was for, then just Google it. This is why they're able to put a pig colon in a grocery store and sit it in the main display of the meat aisle and put signs on it and say, here, get your food. And people picking it up. Pig colon. Why is that? Because slavery has tricked and deceived and warped our people. The truth has been tossed to the ground. Let me show you where Paul gets it from. Some people want to go and blame Paul, but how are you going to blame Paul when he's just doing as he is told? In the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter, it says in I'm going to show you what's going on. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, there came the Christ, or JC, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now, this is how nasty these people were. You know, you wonder why in Europe they were dying of the so-called Black Plague. Pneumonic plague, which was a disease spread by transferring of fecal matter. And if you do your history, you'll find that the Europeans did not have sewage system, and they did not know how to properly excuse themselves. And you'll find that the Europeans used the restroom wherever they wanted to, in the middle of the street, wherever. They didn't use a running water system. And it caused great affliction. And they had, a lot of them died. And some black people had to go show them how to get their stuff together. And here you see a book written by your enemy shows that the main players don't wash their hands before they eat bread. Then the Christ of the New Testament went on to flip some name to these people. And I want to show you the main part. In verse 16 it says, And JC said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not you understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? He's letting you know, listen, washing hands? Come on now. For real? Y'all gonna trip over washing hands? We don't need to wash no hands. Anything you put in your mouth is going on your belly and you're gonna release it. You ain't gonna die. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You say in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Brothers and sisters, don't your enemy sell you antibacterial soap? Soap, period. Every time you go to a business, they say employees must wash hands. That's because they don't even believe in what they put in their own spiritual and religious books. Yet, this is the ilk of the people that are teaching you. Now, they don't know simple hygiene. How are they going to teach you science, math, language, arts, tradition, and culture? They're not going to be able to. But we have gone through with their teachings because slavery has created the environment in which you actually have been under that school of thought, where people don't even believe in eating clean, drinking clean, giving respect to the Most High. This is not what they believe in. So anything they teach, anything they bring, and that they is your enemy, is not coming from a place of the Most High. Slavery is here to keep you away from the Creator. Why would they give you, in the day's enemies, why would they give you tools to rise out of your oppression? Why? They won't. They're not. Let me show you something else. Gross darkness. And this has got to be one of the grossest. In the book of Luke, 14th chapter, in verse 25 it says, and there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, and this is supposed to be the Christ of the New Testament, if any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, not be my disciple. Now read that too fast. He said, if any man come to me and hate not, that means if anybody come to me and they don't hate, yes, the so-called book that is supposed to be the book of love, that is supposed to be the God of love, teaching hate. I never read Yahweh said hate anyone except evil. So here it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father. So if you come to me and you do not hate your father, and do not hate your mother, and do not hate your wife, and do not hate your children, and do not hate your brethren, and if you don't hate your sisters, and if you don't hate your own life, you can't be in my game. You can't be my disciple. You can't follow me. You can't walk with me. You can't roll with me if you don't hate everybody you supposed to love. Y'all know that don't make no sense. Look, this is called complete and utter buffoonery. You can't go around hating your own parents, your mother, your father, sister, your brother, your children, your cousins, your nephews, your uncles, your aunts, and your neighbors, and yourself. You can't go around hating everybody. And then say you following the God of love. It's impossible. That's completely impossible. So what I'm showing you is the reason that this is so horrible, because our people do this. Our people actually do this. They hate their own kind. You know they hate their own kind, because of the way we treat our people, the murder and the destruction. And the disrespect. We run around doing exactly what slavery showed us, and that is this hate. Therefore, slavery has its hold on you. Now, I know a great many of us don't do this at all. We don't live like this. We don't talk like this. We don't believe this. But a great many of our people do. And why is it? Because of slavery. And gross darkness right there that Yah is talking about. That's gross darkness. That's truth thrown to the ground at its best. Yet, Yah said that my people are taught the precepts of man. The fear of Yah is taught by the precepts of man. So even when you believe you Israel and know you Israel, we have to take it to another step. We have to go to a higher plane. We have to serve Yah wholeheartedly. If you go with me to the book of Isaiah, the second chapter. In Isaiah chapter 2, it reads, beginning at the first verse, the word of that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yah's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of Yah, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yah from Jerusalem. The whole world is going to come to Yah in his house to learn the truth, to learn his ways, to learn his paths, to learn the word and the law. And look what will happen in verse 4. He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn anymore. Because Yah don't teach war, Yah teach peace. And all the nations know is war. And Yah's ways are peace. It says in verse 5, O house of Yaakov, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yah. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Yaakov, because they be replenished from the east. And this is what Yah is telling us about us now. He said, first, come and walk in the light. Walk in the truth. Walk in the light of the Most High. He said, but slavery got a hold on you, and you are replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee from in the dust, for the fear of Yah and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down. Yah alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yah of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pitchers, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yah alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rock, and into the cave of the earth, for the fear of Yah and the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to terribly shake the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles, to the pits, to the go into the clefts of the rock, and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of Yah and for glory of his majesty, when he arises, shake. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Hallelujah. Yahweh is letting us know that the end of a matter is better than the beginning thereof. Even though this on Israel, Yahweh is going to be exalted. The fountain of living waters, the Elohim of Elohim, the King of Kings, the Elohim and the true and living Elohim, the only power, will be raised up. And he's telling us today, walk in the light of Yah. Do not be afraid of man. Do not be afraid of these overseers. Do not be afraid of man. Their wisdom, their understanding, their knowledge is all vain. Only the word of Yah is the truth. All the other doctrines on the face of the earth is vanity. Get out of the slavery. Seek Yahweh. Live. Hallelujah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we, the house of Israel. Shabbat and shalom. Shalom to everybody. Hallelujah.